Good morning. I'm going to take this week and next week, and I don't know if I'll go a third, but at least this week and next week. And I just thought I would kind of a different type of lesson. We're going to talk about the God-given role of the preacher. And it's important, I think you'll see it's important for you to understand as brothers and sisters, and it's important for me and for Carrie and for anyone else who preaches or maybe even teaching, understands there is a God-given role and what that God-given role is. Before we get to 1 Timothy, and I'm going to be using 1, 2 Timothy and Titus over the next 2 weeks, but before we get to 1 Timothy 1, I want you to start in the book of James. Right after 1 and 2 Timothy and Titus, there's the big book Hebrews and the book of James. James chapter 5. And as James speaks to those in Jesus, listen to what he says, and we're going to make a point here. James chapter 5, look at verse 19. He says, "My brethren, if any among you strays from the truth and one turns him back, let him know that he who turns a sinner from the error of his way will save his soul from death and will cover a multitude of sins." If anyone strays from the truth, it is possible in the church for people to stray. If truth is not held to, it makes it real easy for the church, for many, to go astray. And whenever you go astray from the truth, I want you to look at verse 20 and the words that how he describes a person that goes astray. He says he turns a sinner. They've gone back to sinfulness. Anytime you stray from the truth, you go back into sinfulness. And he says, he talks about the error of his way will save his soul from death. I mean, he's in error in the way he lives, the direction he's going. Notice his soul is in death. And then it talks about, and he covers a multitude of sin. We're talking about one turning. But they're in multitudes of sins. And so when you get looking at that, the possibility is for people to stray from the truth. And the reality of that is that they become sinful, they become error-filled, they have a multitude of sins that go with it, and their soul is in death. That's the reality. People will stray from the truth if it's not preached. And if you turn people away from their straying and get them back to the truth, you will save them. You will save a lot of things about them. You know, if you think for just a second, why do you think congregations split? Now, we're very blessed that we've never had to go through that. And I pray to God we never, ever do. But whenever there is a church split, I will guarantee you someone's wandered from the truth. Guarantee you. And other things get substituted. And so we need to realize what is at stake. And for a preacher, they must recognize the possibility and the seriousness of what happens in the church. And you've got to keep things on track. God has a role, and he has given the role for a preacher on what to do to keep people from straying from the truth, to condemning their souls, to having a multitude of sins. And I'm using the reverse principle, but that's what we've got to see. Come back to 1 Timothy chapter 1. And we'll see what's at stake in this God-given role. 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 3. Paul begins and he says, "As I urge you upon my departure from Macedonia, remain on at Ephesus so that you may instruct certain men not to teach strange doctrines, nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, and which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith." Paul's headed for Macedonia. He writes this letter to Timothy the preacher. And you know what? Timothy is told to stay at Ephesus. You know what he's told to stay at Ephesus to do in verse 3? To instruct certain men. Some versions say command. The preacher, Timothy, was staying on at Ephesus. Ephesus had elders. They had shepherds. Ephesus was one of the stronger congregations. But there were certain men in the congregation that were teaching strange doctrine. And he said, you know what? I want you to tell them, stop it. Strange doctrine. A doctrine, that's what we believe. That's the basis, the crux of what we believe and put our faith in. That's our doctrine. Anytime you deviate from the doctrine that the apostles taught, whom they got it from Jesus, if you deviate from that at all, it is strange doctrine. And so you can't allow that to go on. In fact, he says in verse 4, nor to pay attention to myths and endless genealogies. I mean, myths have nothing to them. There's no foundation. There's a lot of nice stories that might float out there, a lot of good things to read. But if there's no substance to them, there's no foundation, there's no reality of it, you don't pay attention to that kind of stuff. Genealogies, you know, genealogies were big among the Jews because that's where they would get their Jewish heritage from. And, you know, stay away from that. Don't pay attention to that. He's telling the preacher Timothy, this is your God-given role. I want you to tell these men to stop the strange doctrine. Do you tell them to stop paying attention to myths and endless genealogies? Why? Which give rise, he says in verse 4, which give rise to mere speculation. Questionings. I mean, when you start creating speculations in the church, when you start preaching and teaching and it creates questionings among people, that is not good. It seems like sometimes, and maybe I miss it, but it seems like there are just certain times, there are certain people, and all they want to be is create speculations. They make comments, make statements to make you speculate. And he says, I don't want that. That's not God, what God wants the preacher to do. That's not what's supposed to be created. Notice what he says in verse 4. Nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies, which give rise to mere speculation, rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. Now, New American Standard uses the administration of God. Some versions may use God's work. When we talk about the administration of God, we're talking about the things that God has instructed, the policies that He has set within His household. That's God's administration. This is what God wants done. This is what policies he's set forth. This is the work that He wants. And He says, if you're going to further the policies of God, it will be furthered by one thing, and what's that? Faith. You can't do it any other way. Strange doctrines, which may sound great, it might be interesting, and let's go and let's have interesting things, but you know what? It will not further what God wants furthered about His household, His administration. No, that's furthered by faith. We know, we're familiar with Romans 10:17. Faith comes from hearing, and hearing by the words of Christ. Faith comes from hearing. God said, you want to build faith? You want faith to increase? You want your faith to increase? You got to hear. But you got to hear the right thing. And what is that? Word of God, Word of Christ. The Word of Christ. You deviate from that, and you're not going to have God's policies in order in His church, among His people. It comes from hearing the Word, and not strange doctrines and paying attention to all these other things. Look over real quick, if you would, to 2 Timothy chapter 2. 2 Timothy chapter 2. Look at verse 15, and he's speaking specifically to the preacher here. 2 Timothy chapter 2, verse 15. He says, be diligent to present yourself approved to God as a workman who does not need to be ashamed, accurately handling the word of truth. Be diligent. Now, if you have a King James Version, and I've said this before, but you need to listen to it. King James Version has the word study. And we always say, oh, we need to study. The word study does not mean in the King James what we say study means today. The term is diligence, looking at something. And so here's what he expects, to be diligent to do one thing. What? Present yourself as God approved, as a workman who doesn't need to be ashamed. You know, when we talk about being a workman, we're talking about the quality of your work. I mean, you take a skilled workman and something, they handcraft something, they give a quality to that. Their name is going on that. Well, here's what he says to the preacher. You be diligent in your life to make sure you're making yourself approved to God. That the workmanship, the quality of work you're doing, is God approved. It's got God's stamp of approval on it. How do you do that? He says at the end of verse 15, accurately handling the word of truth. Why do you have to worry about that? Because you can handle it inaccurately, and a lot of people do. When people spend their time over here in things that are speculations, in things that are other than the word of God, you have a tendency to get off track. The God-given role of the preacher is make sure that the work you're doing is God-approved. And make absolutely certain that it's God-approved because you handle accurately the word of truth. Why? It's the only thing that will further God's administration by faith. You can't further God's things by faith if you don't concern yourself about the work that you do, about being God-approved, God-stamped, and you handle accurately what God wants you to handle. That's the teaching of God. That's what he expects from the preacher. Now come back to 1 Timothy chapter 1 again. See, in order for your faith to grow, it has to come from his word. And it has to come from preachers being committed to the word of God. Whenever you get into things that are questionable, when things are speculations, when you've got all these other ideas and you pay attention to myths and all of that, you know what you're actually doing? You're actually taking God's household and God's policies and you're taking them away from the people. And that's not good. And so he says back in 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 4, nor pay attention to myths and endless genealogies which give rise to mere speculation rather than furthering the administration of God, which is by faith. If you stop it, you stop pushing God's best interest forward. You are creating and causing people to go astray from the truth. What we saw in James 5. Now that's scary to me, and it ought to be to you. You ought to expect a preacher, your preachers, to hold and to hold accountably to God the word of truth. And preachers ought to expect it. And we need to, you know, we need to do even a better job than what we do now. I know I do. I won't speak for Carrie. Carrie does well. But I'm just saying, that's our God-given responsibility. And we have to know that. Look at verse 5. He says, but the goal of our instruction is love from a pure heart and a good conscience and a sincere faith. There's the God-given goal. You want to set a goal, preachers? There's the goal of all preaching, is that the things that I preach, the things that I teach, will it create love from a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith in you? The preaching is supposed to help you in these areas of your life because these are the areas that matter to God, that you having a good conscience, not defiled. You having a sincere faith, a faith that is based on the Word of God, a faith that is based in trusting God, that you have a pure heart, that you do things from pure motives. That's what all preaching and teaching is for. And when people get tired of hearing the Word of God, well, it's another lesson from the Bible, it's another lesson from the Word of God, why don't we ever get anything different? The reason is it will cost you everything. It will cause you to go astray from the truth. You will live in error, and your soul will live in death. And we have to know that. This is the goal. And I would encourage any of our teachers here, any of you, especially teach adult classes, you need to mark verse 5, and that needs to be the goal of your life whenever you teach a class. Rather than you just grabbing somebody's book or somebody's comments, the fact that you understand that what I'm about to teach is to give, it's to create this within this class situation. We're not wasting people's time. We're trying to further God's administration, God's household, God's policies. And it's done by faith. And when you do it by faith, it creates the pure heart, the good conscience, and the sincere faith. And that's what we need. Look at verse 6. For some men, straying from these things, have turned aside to fruitless discussions. I mean, you know what's out there? You know what's in the church? Preachers who stray from these principles. Preachers who don't understand their God-given role. And you know what they turn aside to? He said, they stray from them, they've turned aside to fruitless discussions. Discussions that go nowhere. I mean, it's real easy. It would be real easy for me. And I imagine Carrie would say the same. It would be real easy for us just to have nice little old lessons. Nice lesson, nice this, nice that. A lot of fruitless discussions. Fruitless. It helps you in nothing. And people turn away. Preachers turn away to everything else but what God intends, and it ends up a bunch of fruitless discussion. One time, wife and I were visiting a place. We went to their Bible study. The fellow that was teaching it had a whiteboard up, and they'd written on the top of it four categories of sin. As he began to teach the class, we sat in a 45-minute class. Oh, they used the Word of God. They began going back to Old Testament illustrations, and they would read about the sin of an individual or maybe the nation of Israel. And as they would read and comment on it, they would put the sin under one of these four categories. First thing struck me, I knew the teacher was reading a book. That's the only way you're going to come up with this. You've been reading somebody's book, and I knew that. Second thing, God's administration is furthered by faith, and I'm sitting there thinking, what in the world is this going to do for me in my faith to keeping a pure heart, a good conscience, and a sincere faith? Okay, I stumble with a sin. Well, let me categorize it. It falls under one of these four categories, so I put that down in my mind. Okay, it's that sin. So what? You know what it led to? A bunch of fruitless discussion that helped nobody's faith. They give nobody any encouragement. That gives no stability. And you know what it does? It tells people, let's just stray from the truth. Even though you can read your Bible, does not mean that you are having a good class, a good preacher, a good teaching. It doesn't mean that. It could be a lot of speculation, a lot of things that are wasting time. I guarantee you what, it's not God approved. It's not a workman being God approved. See, there is a God-given role. And a preacher has to understand the God-given role. And if you stray from the God-given role, you will turn aside to a bunch of fruitless discussions. and it will hurt you people. Now you see, that's why I need to preach about a God-given role. Because you people better expect it because of what's at stake for you. Because as a preacher, I could be opening a door and I could be helping you go astray. See, this thing is serious. He goes on to say there in verse 6, "For some men straying from these things have turned aside to fruitless discussions." Verse 7, "Wanting to be teachers of the law, even though they do not understand either what they are saying or the matters about which they make confident assertions." You know, they want to be teachers of the law. Back at the writing of this, they had the Old Testament scriptures. That's what they had in their possession. They didn't have New Testament. It hadn't been written yet, much less circulated. All of it hadn't been. But it's going to take a while for things to get circulated. So they had the Old Testament scriptures and that law that God gave. And he said, you know what they want to do? These guys want to be teachers of the law, but they don't have any understanding about what they're saying, and they don't even understand the matters of which they make their confident assertions. Oh, yeah, they come across like they've got it on, and it's so exciting, and this is so neat. Yeah. Paul says they don't have a clue. They don't have a clue. You better hold to the goal. And this is the goal, is to create this love from a pure heart, good conscience, and sincere faith. This is the goal. You stop people. You stop strange doctrines from men. Stop that stuff in its tracks and don't let it go there. Because it's doing you no good. It's doing the preacher no good. See, there is a God-given role. Come over, if you would, to 1 Timothy chapter 6 right quick. 1 Timothy chapter 6. Look at verse 3. Look at what he says here. He says, "If anyone advocates a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness, he is conceited and understands nothing." We'll just stop with that. What's wrong with advocating a different doctrine? I mean, let's just come in, you know, Timothy was told they were having strange doctrines. Those are different doctrines. So, you know what? If someone wants to come along, a preacher wants to advocate a different doctrine, notice what he says. He does not agree with sound words. You know what sound words are? I've taught it before. That word sound is healthy. You know, when you talk about someone being of sound mind, sound body, they're healthy. You know what sound words are? Words that'll give you health. Spiritual health, love from a pure heart, a good conscience, sincere faith. Those are words. Those are things that'll give you sound spiritual health. And so, but he says that if someone wants to advocate a different doctrine and does not agree with sound words, saw something real interesting. You see that word agree? That word agree, some of you may have a side note, and it may say come to. That word agree literally means to come over and join. If someone is advocating a different doctrine, a strange doctrine, they need to come over and join into sound words that give spiritual help. But they don't want to come over and agree. They don't want to come over and join sound words. Well, you know what those sound words are? He says, those of our Lord Jesus Christ. They're the words of Jesus Christ. This Word of God came to these inspired apostles, and it originated with Jesus. The Spirit of God spake to these men, and they pinned them down. You know what? We've got to come over, and we've got to join in sound words. Those are the words of Jesus Christ. And we got to join ourselves to that. Well, here's someone who doesn't want to do that. You know, but look at the rest of verse 3. If anyone advocates a different doctrine, does not agree with sound words, those of our Lord Jesus Christ, and with a doctrine conforming to godliness. A doctrine conforming to godliness? You know the teachings of Jesus Christ? You know the teachings of the Word of God are supposed to make you more God-like living? Yeah, something is wrong whenever we're not going to talk about the Word of God making us more godly. We need a doctrine that conforms us to godliness, the way God, the way Christ lives, the way they went about their life. If our doctrine is not part of godliness, and we're sitting around and we're asking questions like, well, what's wrong with doing this or what's wrong with doing that? That's not the question. It's what does godliness want from us? Because we've been made whole and pure through the blood of Christ, we're sinless in the eyes of God, then I better be having a doctrine that conforms to godliness. Well, here's someone that doesn't want that. What does he say? Look at verse 4. He's conceited, understands nothing. He's got his mind so wrapped up in himself. He's got his mind thinking so high of himself, nobody can tell this preacher what to do, what to think. He's conceited, and his understanding is zero. And I don't care how many letters you want to put after their name and your PhDs and your masters and your doctorates and whatever it is, if you're not going to agree with a doctrine that came from Jesus Christ and agree with sound words, then you are conceited and you understand nothing. In fact, you are going astray from the truth. Look at what he says in verse 4. He is conceited and understands nothing, but he has a morbid interest in controversial questions and disputes about words, out of which arise envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, and constant friction between men of depraved mind and deprived of the truth, who suppose that godliness is a means of gain. You know what? Envy, strife, abusive language, evil suspicions, constant friction, that is not a doctrine of godliness, is it? No. See, the moment you leave sound doctrine, the moment you go away from the truth, that's what's going to arise. And all these controversial questions, we're going to argue over words and, oh, this word means that. You know, a few years ago, our president got in trouble where is didn't mean is, and that went about. You know, we argue over words. I want to tell you what, none of that stuff furthers the administration of God by faith. None of it. And it causes people to separate. It'll cause people to go astray from the Word of God. See, there is a God-given role. And preachers have to understand their God-given role. And you have to understand it even if the brethren don't like it. It's not a popularity contest. It's a fact of saving your soul. And if someone gets upset about the doctrine of God that conforms to godliness, if they get all disturbed and bent out of shape, it reveals where they are in relationship to the Lord Jesus. But it'll save the whole. So you see, there is a God-given role here. And I want you to know it's serious. It's serious for me. It's serious for Carrie. And I want you to know, those who teach classes, it's serious for you. And you need to take it seriously and present yourself approved to God too. Handle accurately that word of truth. This morning, if we could encourage you in your walk, if there's anything we could do,